Welcome to the Enlighten Up Podcast, where I am going to take you into a deep exploration of what it means to exist in this current reality. We are going to raise your vibes, open your mind, expand your heart, and dive deep into the wondrous mysteries and possibilities of this lifetime. There's been a spiritual catalyst that has set in motion the awakening process of many across the globe to return to the knowingness of self and unite what has been separated. Together, we're going to bring light into that darkness. We're going to remember the joy of living. But most of all, we're going to turn up the volume of our own eternal power and do the thing we're here to do.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Enlighten Up Podcast. Thank you so much for being so patient with me. I had to take last week off to recover from some food poisoning after an ayahuasca journey. But I am all better now and here with a brand new guest, David Ellis. He is basically the kitchen sink and more. He is the CEO at Universal Citizen Media. He has an MBA, a master in law. He's a psychotherapist. He does coaching. He works for the Yoga Alliance. He teaches yoga. He's a hypnotherapist. He works with a Lucia light, which I think we're going to talk about a little later. And, you know, I'm really not sure if there's anything you don't do, David.
Yeah, I do a lot.
I am familiar with your work because I follow Andrew Bartzis. So some of you in my audience who do follow Andrew, you may be familiar with Davis by seeing him on the Galactic Historian YouTube channel. I am a big fan of your work, David. And of course, I always love watching you and Andrew together. It's always good fun. You guys have really good banter. And I can tell you both have a lot of deep respect for one another. So today, first and foremost, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. And I see that on the food poisoning part. Oh my gosh, you okay?
Yes, it was a 36 hour thing that, you know, hit me and then it was gone within about 36 hours.
Okay, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah. Good. So we're going to totally take a side swerve here. I'm going to throw something at you that you are not prepared for, but then again, maybe you are. Interesting turn of events in the world. Well, first and foremost, how was the month of November for you? Because energetically, it felt like there was a lot coming through. I just can't tell you how many people I know got sick, including myself, and this was not the food poisoning. I actually know a lot of people who've gotten food poisoning, different people at different times, which just seems so odd because that's not something you usually hear about. And a lot of people with neck pain, back pain, headaches, and the flu and colds and just also really struggling to recover. Like it just seemed to hit harder than normal. Have you tuned into like kind of what was been going on, or do you have any wisdom you'd like to share through that?
Yes. I just had that conversation this morning with Andrew.
Oh, okay.
And when we speak, it's usually like, how's the tide in your ocean? And it's like, it's wavy. I myself had to withdraw and go underground for about a week or so in November. November was a time of upheaval for a lot of people. And it wasn't just the illnesses and so on. Big shifts were happening with regard to people, especially with the people that we work with and so on, right? And I meditated, and even in the meditations that you do, you can feel the upheaval, things moving around in there. I think this has become like a kind of Lion's Gate area, okay? I am not quite sure what was going on in the astral realm, but I could pretty much tell you that a lot of upheaval was happening with a lot of people. I think a lot of people, there's a convergence that's happening going into 2024. And it's shaking a lot of people up. And I say that in the best way possible, because what is happening is that there are changes happening on a macro level. So in terms of the world, things are ramping up. Energy spikes are ramping up everywhere. And we're seeing that in the clients that come to us, right? And the combined healing therapy and so on. Energy systems are ramping up everywhere. There's an increase of everything. There's an increase of good things and an increase of bad things. We're not sure what is causing that. But on the macro level in society and what is going on, we probably think that has a lot to do with what's going on. There was a lot of pressure in 2023 on a lot of people.
Because I felt it.
we had that discussion, Nicole, so, very recently. There was a lot of pressure in 2021. A lot of people came out of, you know, the lockdown thing. And they thought, okay, the lockdown thing is done. The problem is done. It wasn't done, because the psychological effects, the spiritual effects of restriction, for that global restriction, sent a lot of people sideways. It did.
No, I know.
And we're seeing the effects now, because fear, like just the being scared has become a new norm. And then now there's fear when there wasn't fear before. So it has had two effects. One is a good unintended effect, because the fear, people get tired of being afraid, and it turns into something else. It turns into a kind of resistance.
Well, speaking of the restrictions and the lockdowns and how that affected us, that you just brought that up, it's really interesting, because last week I released a video on my channel about the energies of November. And the reason why I did was because I woke up in the middle of the night because a consciousness was talking to me in my sleep and guiding me through how to release the restriction in my neck that was almost ready to go into neck spasm. And it was telling me how to move my body and what to do. And it was basically like kind of imagining all this light from my spine and bursting outside of me, like, and moving and pushing it, like I was breaking free out of my whole body. And when I would put my body into certain positions that it was telling me to, which was very different than anything I've ever known to do. And I'm a body worker. I mean, I've got tons of experience in massage therapy, yoga, all that stuff. All of a sudden I would get pop, 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 and like release and release in all these different areas. And then I got this message, and I kind of channeled, I just spoke about it in my phone late at night, 'cause there's no way I could write it down. And it's interesting that you're saying that, because it is along those lines. And I think, like, when it was talking about the walls closing, closing in, when you feel the walls closing in, it's on you. It's not because the walls, so to speak, are, it's because you're trying to break free. You're getting too big for the container that you've already created, and that it's time to level up and to make more space for yourself, and to almost like not even just request more space, but almost like take it. And so I thought that was really interesting. And the last thing that it says is, you've outgrown the container you've been in because you are a creative of your reality, and the space you choose to operate in is your doing. You must expand that space, and all the things that are constricting it must be removed, which could be your limiting thought patterns, behaviors, etc. New perspectives are required to help you expand the reality, the container in which you are living in. So the reality that we live in is the container. Our body is the container. And when you're leveling up, your reality is expanding. And so therefore, you know, you are needing to push out more, because you in yourself are becoming bigger. You are expanded. And so you're needing more space. And so it was this idea, I think, in November, this is what I am intuitively getting, that many people, because we've been going through this kind of leveling up energy, it's been requested of us, just because, like you said, so much change, like this, the foundation is being shaken below us, because whatever we've been building hasn't been strong enough. And so we've been rebuilding, we've been doing all of those things. And now it's time to expand upon that.
Agreed. And you know what? That was a very important point you just made there. There are two ways to feel that kind of constriction. You're growing or the walls are closing down.
Yes.
Now, here's the funny thing about it. The two are not mutually exclusive. Because if you squeeze, let's say you're in that room that you're in right now. This is how spirit works. If I squeeze the room that you're in, it triggers in you a spirit, I want to grow, I want to be free. And then you expand as a result of the walls closing in.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly how that works, because a lot of people...
Which is what 2020 was.
Yes, yes. They squeezed a whole bunch of people and it triggered a whole sort of stuff where people now had to expand. Because one thing that isolation is good for, or locking somebody down is good for, it that the mind has chance to ruminate. We do the same thing in therapy. Sometimes people's senses need to be deprived in order for them to grow, right? Or most initiations have that as their foundation, right? So let's say you're going to be initiated into something. There's a reason why they give you a sense deprivation time. Okay, because you're dying in this world and you're being born into the next. Okay. And a lot of people are experiencing the birthing process and the dying process in November, which is pretty much aligned with how the seasons operate. But this year has been a bit much, right?
Yeah,
a
no, lot of this people one.
That conjunction is happening right here.
Mm-hmm. This one was not one I've remembered in a. Well, I don't even know if I remember one that I've been at least aware of, you know, since me really coming into my awareness from 2016. I don't really remember a time period that was this intense in 1 month, you know, where you really could pinpoint it.
Well, on a global level, everything is accelerating and people are, I don't know how to put this in a nice way.
Don't.
It used to be from 2013. I always ask people, can you remember yourself in 2013? Remember how your mind felt. Remember how you felt in body. Now, skip forward. It is now 2023. We're running down to the end of the year. How do you feel now? Do you feel the same? Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that you don't feel the same. Mm-hmm. Everything has accelerated. Everything in your life has accelerated. Everything is moving too fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people are responding both in a good way and in a bad way. Expansion is never a bad thing. Okay. However, expansion in like certain situations. So let's say we're talking about the concept of container. Let's say your four walls are your four family members. That's your four walls. What happened during the squeezing is that those four walls came in at you via the function of responsibilities. Okay? So husband as or boyfriend may have had a particular need of you, right? You have a child, you may have your parents, and these are the walls that form your reality. Okay? Let's say, I'm just using a basic example. That will trigger you to realize where you stand in terms of the duty cycle, where you stand. Because a lot of people who did not realize that they don't exist before, realize the internal me, doesn't really exist. And it triggers them to do something different. This is all a convergence that is happening at the end of the year. I see a lot of people waking up and I see a lot of people fighting to try to stay asleep. Okay. But the forces are dragging them out. Right.
I'll say there's definitely some sort of force that is really dragging. It does feel like that. And it's, you know, I really, this idea of a convergence. Okay. We're gonna go there a little deeper in a second. But what I really want to throw at you,
go ahead.
What I wanted to throw at you since we started the podcast is We have a very well-known man who passed away last week. For anyone who's not aware, Henry Kissinger passed away. I think, what was it, the age of 100 or something like that? Mm-hmm. And the reason why I bring it up, here's where I'd like to go with it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because a couple days ago, and I was actually going to do my own video on this, but then I was like, who better than to have an actual conversation with about this than David Ellis? Because I know you're going to bring a really good perspective and one that a lot of people need to hear. Mm-hmm. And I saw someone that I follow on social media on Instagram write about this and how it's because, you know, like kind of celebrating his death. And that, you know, this means like, the light is winning and the sun had our back. There were a lot of CMEs and all this kind of stuff. And I just kind of read this and I thought, oh, you know, why did you go there with it? Like, why did you take that direction? And before I give my perspective on it, what is your thought process?
First of all, I want to respond to the article that you read. Why did you have to go there with it? Because the light is not winning. That's why they had to go. Like, it's like, I'm sorry. I find everything funny. First of all, the ironies of life are not lost on me.
Yeah.
So it's like when a Christian says, I abhor, I hate the devil. I'm like, so you're in league with him then? I cannot help but laugh at that stuff. When you see things are happening, this was the man was a monolith in his own specific right, okay? Just because someone dies, death is not the end.
Mm-mm.
A lot of people tend to think that death is the end. You see what you're doing here, trying to educate people and so on? If you were to expire tomorrow, you think your energy will leave this earth? No, it will not. People will remember you. I'm going to quote the Iliad here. Men are haunted by the vastness of eternity. How will you be remembered? How are you going to be remembered? A lot of people don't think about that. Who's going to remember you? How will they remember you? So that's the first thing I want to say. When we're talking about energetics, the energy that this man has left will continue way after he's gone. There's no point in trying to deny that. There's no point in trying to deny that. So there is that perspective. The other perspective that I have to say is that, and this is going to be controversial.
We love that here. Go.
This is going to be controversial. He needed to die. He needed to die. People don't see when you're talking about energy, this is what people, they always see the event and not how it factors into the general scheme of things. What does the death of Henry Kissinger mean to you?
To me personally, are you asking? Is that rhetorical?
No, I mean, just generally you and your audience, what does that mean to you? How will it affect you?
You know, I would think that some people are extremely elated about it. I think some people may not even know who he is. And then I think some people are very neutral about it. The reason why I asked you is because there's a polarity
mm-hmm.
that a lot of people get pulled into, and although they may think they're on one side of the polarity, they actually don't realize they're in the other polarity.
Thank you for that. I want to just interject here to say something. I do Western esoterics, okay? Mm-hmm. There are a few rules that we follow, and these are laws of the universe. For those of you who know Hermes Trismegistus, he wrote the Smaragdine table, and this is basically the rules that we follow. Quad intra extra means everything that is inside is outside. Essentia and contra sua means that the essence of a thing is in its opposite. The essence of a thing is always in its opposite. So the things that you hate the most, the essence of them is inside of you. That's why you hate them. You would not know light if you did not know darkness. That's just a simple statement of fact.
Yes. And so I have two things to say to that.
Sure.
The one thing is that when you are celebrating someone's death, such as this man, for all of the horrendous things that he absolutely partook in and was responsible for while he was here, there's no denying that. But to celebrate his death is to exactly align with the thing that you are saying you don't align with. Most often that is the case. And what I think is so even interesting about like what you said, that idea of the essence of, you know, what is found is in its opposite, right? Its essence is found in its opposite. So in my ayahuasca journey over the weekend, I happened to look at myself in the mirror on my way out of the bathroom just because it was a tight little bathroom and I had to turn towards the mirror to get out and get through the door. And as I did, of course, I saw myself shape-shifting rapidly through eternal versions of myself, galactic versions of myself, earth versions of myself, all different kinds of versions, male, female. I saw myself as beautiful. I saw myself as distorted. I saw myself as a warrior. I saw myself as extremely evil. I saw a very evil version of myself. And I thought, whoa. And then, you know, my thought was, well, I guess that's me. And I just stood there and I enjoyed the show and I kept watching.
Listen, that you mean you've understood the split. Right. And here's the problem with most people. They would like, and I say this in the best of grace, to think of themselves as purely whole and driven. And like the driven snow, I am pure, I am whole, I am light. No, you're not. Inside every one of us is a darkness that is there. So when you're talking about your experience, and it does happen, you see the convergence of all the quantum different cells in different dimensions. Okay? And you ask yourself, from this unlimited point of view, who I am now, right? And I just had a show yesterday when I explained to people, because people get caught up in all the different ideologies and methodologies. I think what would be of benefit here is for us to explain a few things to people with regard to who they are. When I ask somebody, hi, who are you?
Yes.
The first thing they're going to respond, oh, I'm David. Okay, that's a nice, cool title. We want to explain the levels of who David is. David is a quantum being, yes, but David is the David that you're seeing now is a representation of DNA passed down from God knows when. So we're going to deal with a different time, right? When I say who is Nicole? So I say, Nicole, who are you? You say, I am Nicole, right? But that's a misnomer. What you're telling me is that the surface interface that I'm talking to is Nicole. You call it Nicole, but that's not Nicole. Inside Nicole is another Nicole, apparently, which is the deeper level of consciousness, which is the Nicole-ness of who you are. I don't want to get caught up in a lot of, I don't want to confuse the audience, right? But whoever you're calling yourself right now is only 5% of your brain's capacity. It cannot be who you are in total. Right? So that's the present part of you. So I ask you, who are you really? And you tell me, I am the result of generations and generations of DNA in this space and time now. So that's a tense. So you're, what I'm looking at, it took a lot of effort to build the Nicole that I'm looking at, right? Like your mother.
My dad would say so, yeah.
your mother's mother, and your father, all that DNA came and converged and they formed Nicole, so a lot of people need to understand this concept of the ancestors because a lot of people believe that they are alone in this world. No, a lot of people put a lot of effort into you being you, right? So you're never alone in this world ever. And if people who are end up like thinking suicidal thoughts or suicidal ideation, they should understand the first thing that they need to know, hi, you are actually not alone. Okay, so there's that. On the present point in time, you're a convergence of DNA, a confluence of all the DNA that was put into you to make you you. Then there's on the psychological level, there are different levels of you. Okay, so Nicole today wasn't Nicole when she was food poisoned. Okay, Nicole today isn't Nicole 10 years ago. Definitely not, I'm guessing. Right? So you're not a static thing that stands in time. Okay? It changes as you. So when I ask you who you are, that question becomes a little bit complicated. And then you add the quantum, which is your experience right now. The quantum is, do you think that you only exist here? Because if you think you only exist there, I'm guessing that you'd be dead scared of dying. Because if you died, there would be no more you completely, which goes back to your Henry Kissinger issue. You think because he died here, his energy and his effect is not going to be everywhere still? You have to understand the impact of the stuff that this man did. Okay? His ideology was very Machiavellian. Okay? Might make some right. That was his doctrine at its essence. Okay, that was his doctrine at its essence. And that doctrine is something that a lot of people, even in the metaphysical communities, the spiritual communities, they subscribe to that doctrine. Okay, they subscribe. If you are, I'll give you an example. If you are a guru, okay, and you say to your students, it is your purpose in this life to serve me. Oh my God, the cringe.
I know.
You know that there are a whole bunch of people still saying that.
I know. It's part of this journey, isn't it?
Yeah, but remember, they're a guru. So I show up on the show. I show up on your show. I have my little turban. I make sure to grow the beard really long to establish authority. I make sure to grow a beard really long to establish authority. And then you ask me, so what is your plan for the show? What are we going to do? I say, Nicole, it is your purpose in this life to serve me. I'm like, oh my God, just saying that caused me a headache. Right? And so obviously I have some growing to do. You see all these old ideologies breaking apart, even in the spiritual community.
Yes, very much so.
When I say Henry Kissinger needed to die, his death has created a break in consciousness for a lot of people. They are understanding the limitations of his doctrine.
I love that.
They're understanding the limitations of his doctrine. All these gurus, for instance, who used to say, it is your purpose in life to serve me, follow me. I will, somehow make you more enlightened. They have understood all of that doctrine is going away, Nicole. That stuff is going away.
See, I wasn't expecting you to say that, and I love that. Because you're absolutely correct. And I can see that happening, even as we are, before even leading into this conversation, how everything is being shaken up, our foundation. And we even just astrologically, we've got Uranus and Taurus, Taurus representing truly the earth of all earth signs. And we think about like our reality and just the foundation of what we stand on. and what we build upon, that all of that is still getting shaken up with Uranus there, really asking us to reinvent ourselves, to reinvent and innovate. So that is a very cool perspective. I hope my audience, I know many of you are, I hope my audience is really grasping how important that perspective is.
This man needed to die because he had fans. He still had fans. And the fans were linked to his energy. Okay? As an example, you remember a guy back in 1945 called Adolf Hitler?
Heard of him.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be friends with him, but heard of him.
Yeah, you remember that guy?
Yeah.
This guy caused one of the most horrific events in the entire world history, okay? Because of a doctrine, because of an idea, right? When he died, the idea still lived for many, many years in different formats and was destructive even after his death. When he died, the following things occurred. We created the United Nations. Then we created the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights as a means of, we need to get away from all that darkness, right? So we created, but he still had fans who were trying their best for the last 40 to 50 years to revive the ideology and the horror that he created. Okay, so you had the Nazis and the neo-Nazis and so on. This man still had fans. To this day, we still have neo-Nazis who revere Adolf Hitler. But look at us in 2023. Look at how restricted they are right now. The energy dies after a time. Now, I ask you, if Hitler had survived and was in hiding, how strong do you think that energy would be? If there was like an idea that he escaped Germany somehow and he's in hiding somewhere, you think that energy would die easily? No, it would not. Henry Kissinger needed to die.
Mm.
And I'm not saying that in a bad way, like I'm happy that he's dead,
mm-hmm.
right? You I should never that. Be happy that anything leaves this energy space that easily, right? But you have to also ask yourself, what do you suppose contributed to his longevity? These are questions that you have to ask. Mm-hmm. You see how energy works.
Mm-hmm.
You see how energy works. I am going to guess, because this man was not known for his diet or his exercise. He was known for the stuff that he did. Okay?
Oh,
so it wasn't his diet and exercise that made him live that long. That man lived on energy. It kept him throughout those years. The energy of his fans, the energy of the stuff that he did, he lived on his energies. A lot of people tend to think, as an example, you only sustain yourself with good energy. That's incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a statement that used to go on when we were younger. You remember a statement that went like, only the good die young.
Yeah, yeah.
You remember a statement? Not that he was that, I can't say that he's an evil person, but he certainly did things that had negative ends, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Vietnam, being Cambodia, this man was very active in these areas, and his ideology, the way he conducted diplomacy was not good, okay? And we see it now, and we're trying to do different things. So I'm sorry, I can't be happy that he's dead, because there are two things that are happening. Him dying, and then we going into next year, U.S. elections in your country, where you are, well, you're not your country, but where yeah. you are.
Yep, yeah, yep, yeah, yep.
Yeah. The two things are going to be tied with each other. These two energies are converging in the same turn of year. Big problem. Okay. There are a number of macro things that are happening in the world, right? We have a war that is not going away in Europe. It's like something that's stuck. Fear is everywhere. Then we have cultural wars breaking out. The gender cultural war, right? We have different kind. We always had the racial issues going on, right? They're all converging down to the end of the year, and people are either frightened, and people are saying, no more, I'm tired of being scared. Which is why you have like an upheaval, a whirlpool happening in November, because a lot of things are happening.
Yeah. And I personally can speak to that in the sense that I have been having to face some very big fears and move through them. Like, I just don't want to be behind this fear anymore. I want to be in front of it, you know, and I want to move through it and see what's on the other side. And, but I can see how you've got probably a really good mix of that happening with a lot of people where they're really kind of stepping up and getting very brave in their life and choosing to face things that perhaps they have not faced for a long time. And they're now ready. And they're summoning their courage, they're summoning their energy, their readiness. And then you have people who are running deep into the holes, into the trenches below, into wherever, the bunkers, and saying, no, happy to just have my head in the sand a little longer.
Yeah, that bunker's not going to stay around for too much longer. Oh, hell no.
No.
Yeah, they're trying. I see a lot of people trying that that option. I just want to live in comfort and peace and serenity. And that's no longer going to be an option, which is another thing that's happening at the end of the year. The bunkers are coming off, right? All right. And a lot of people are having issues with that. They're going to struggle with that quite a bit. All right. I'm sure there's a bunch of people in your audience who watching the show saying, you're talking about me. Yeah, we're talking about you. We're talking about you. The bunkers are coming off. A lot of people have also blind spots. Mm-hmm. We call them blind spots.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In therapy, we call them blind spots. It's like the things that you don't want to see. In the spiritual community, we have a bunch of people with blind spots, like the guru who says, it is your mission in life to serve me this time around. That would be a major blind spot. He doesn't see himself. And I have met a lot of gurus who say this stuff, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, there's a few things going on here as I sit down and ponder. The first thing is the appeal to authority. Okay. I have the long beard. It's white in nature. And I have the turban. Obviously, I'm right. Oh, God. Obviously, I am right, right?
You look the part, it has to be.
Right. Obviously, I'm right. Meanwhile, his followers are like, but he has the beard. He's obviously right. I'm sorry. I am very unpopular in the yoga world. Okay. Even though I'm part of the yoga.
You work for the Yoga Alliance, you teach and all that. That's what I love. That's why we get along.
I am very unpopular in the yoga world because this guruism thing just needs to die with all the gurus with the white beards. Okay. It really does. Listen. I think people need to get the serious stick out of their ass, which is why I'm unpopular in the yoga world, because you have to be very serious. You have to be very serious. This is serious work that we're doing, right? I mean, we're integrating the dark and the light, and I'm like, no, it's not that serious. It's actually kind of funny. Okay, it's actually kind of funny, right?
Enlighten up.
Yeah, enlighten up, exactly, right? So it's like people come, I'm not a popular because when it is that I see gurus being gurus, I find it funny.
Hmm.
And I laugh. I can't help myself due to the fact that everybody on this earth is equal. That's unfortunately the truth.
Unfortunately.
Everybody, and I say unfortunately because unfortunately for their pockets and for their little whatever it is that they're doing, everybody on this earth is equal. Okay. The inequalities that you see may be inequalities in terms of intelligence, it may be inequalities in terms of their material existence and so on. But we all live, breathe, and bleed the same. Okay. Mm-hmm. We came in with the same potentialities. Okay. Some people may choose, I don't want to actualize my potentialities. I don't want to take a look at my DNA and say, what is possible in here? But to say, I am a guru and I can teach you the three arrogances in this life is, I will heal you. No, you won't. You mean, I will facilitate you healing yourself. I will save you. No, you won't. You mean you're helping me save myself, right? And apparently, I will teach you. No, you mean guide me. That's what you mean, okay? Because teaching has a very interesting connotation to it. So when you say these words, you have to see what power dynamic is being created when you say these things. Mm-hmm. Like, we're sharing stuff with your audience, but your audience may have different perspectives that either of us may not have seen before.
Yep.
Okay? So a lot of people set themselves up as this kind of guru figure, and we're like, it's not that serious, really. We can't just laugh about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have a white beard. You have a white beard. I got the Gillette razor right here. Join the rest of us in the party, because we're all struggling. If you are here, you are equal to everybody else. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't get that. So I think a lot of these ideologies of gurus and so on, of people who are superior, inferior, all these things are going away. They're going away. Because if you think about 20 years ago, the metaphysical community was different. And that's good and bad as well, because there was a lot more respect back then. But right now, we've become commercial, and everybody is now a guru. And that may be a good thing and a bad thing. And I say the good thing, the good part of it is that they've realized that all that marketing stuff is just illusion at the end. Mm-hmm. We should be able to just sit down, like how Nicole and I are sitting down, and just riff about stuff. Because mm-hmm. I've had a rough November. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's been a rough one for sure. And I think when you look at this idea of the convergence and this idea of the fracturing of what has been for so long and can now no longer stay because of the evolution that is in play, and where we're going, and even touching on that point that you just made of how there was more respect in the metaphysical community, say 20 years ago, than there is now. I think that's part of the journey, especially when an area expands and more people become aware, more people are learning, and that thing is just expanding. Obviously, it's the sacredness, the potency, all of that gets pulled and stretched and sometimes ripped and, you know, not always preserved, definitely. But again, I think that's part of the process anyway. I don't think it's right or wrong. I think it's just a natural, organic thing that happens. And all of us, that is just a macro of the micro within ourselves, right? There are parts of us that maybe we should have kept a little more sacred and we didn't. And then we abused it and we pulled it and maybe we ripped it. And now we got to, like, you know, tend to it and maybe sew it back together. I don't know. Or maybe we're just tossing it all. I don't know, you know, but it's just part of the learning process. And mm-hmm. that is one of the reasons why you keep saying it's not that serious.
No, it isn't. I grew up in a yoga center. Years ago, many, many years ago. And we didn't charge for the yoga center. Let me explain to you how the yoga center sustained itself. Anybody who saw that a yoga center needed anything, they would just do it out of their own pocket without even asking. There was no call to arms or anything like that. That was, I could pretty much tell you the environment back then. I used to clean the yoga center floor on my hands and knees, okay? right? There was a reverence for the space and the place and the people. The people in the yoga center used to hug. It wasn't hugs with agendas. It was like little hearts floating up to the ceiling kind of hugs, right? It was like, and when there were other yoga centers in that space at the time, and if they needed anything, the members of one yoga center would help the other members of the other yoga center. That was the reality that I grew up in. Skip forward to 2023. Skip forward to 2023. And it's a very interesting. I went into a yoga center in California. The lady in the yoga center has a black and white studio. She doesn't allow colors in her studio. Oh, geez.
Are you serious?
I'm sorry if people know who I'm talking about. I'm sorry if people, I laugh at these things. I don't even get angry. I'm like, she doesn't allow people to, like, a friend of mine went to her studio because she's very popular, right?
Okay.
And this friend of mine, she's very wealthy, right? So she has the gaudy jewelry with the ring with the diamond and so on. And it pissed this yoga teacher off.
Did it trigger the yoga instructor?
Yeah, it pissed the yoga instructor off because there's colors everywhere, right? Like her little like diamond gaudy looking ring was on her finger while she was doing yoga. And this friend of mine and I, we laugh at everything. So I am laughing at this situation. The colors messed with the yoga teacher. Right. And I'm like, these yoga studios are getting very serious, right? Very, very serious. And then California came out with naked yoga. And I find that funny. And I don't think it's a bad thing. And I don't think it's a good thing. I just find it funny. Okay. And so I use the yoga community as a sort of microcosm because it's happening everywhere in the metaphysical community, right? The reason why I know that you have an old soul in you is because you invited me on your show. We're just riffing. There is no plan.
No plan.
Okay. You didn't give me a script.
No.
To read. Right. We are just riffing. And this is a no plan kind of thing. So.
Here, can I just speak to that? Because that is one of the reasons why it took me so long to even attempt yoga. Now, I grew up very inflexible throughout my whole, like, mm-hmm. my whole life. I was an athlete, and I was convinced even genetically I was inflexible. Of course, later on do I find out it's my mind. But, you know, I had a lot of insecurities, and I found the yoga community not very welcoming. I found it very cliquey. I found it very uptight, and again, like you said, I found, I was like, why is everyone taking this so seriously, you know? And but I've been a very spiritual person since I was a teenager, and so you know, and to that point, I you know, people on my show know that I'll curse and I'll swear and I'll make, like, you know, rude jokes or, you know, inappropriate jokes and things like that, because, you know, like, we're human. Like, that doesn't mean, you know, if I have a nugget of wisdom to share, it doesn't mean that I can't laugh and be stupid and make fun of things, including myself, you know? And this is one of the things, like, even everyone who was at my retreat in September, as they were deep into their journey, you know, they were about 2 hours in, and I was like, okay, this is where you still got another hour left. And I said, enjoy the fucking ride. And they all started giggling, you know, and they all loved it.
You did not say that. Oh my God. Oh. In a spiritual environment. Oh my God. That fuckwood. Oh my God. She said it. I am personally offended. I don't think I could recover. I am traumatized by, really, get over yourself. It ain't that serious. It really is not that. We keep telling people, get the serious stick out of your ass. Mm-hmm. Spirituality does not look like, I am so suppressed. That's what the Christians have been doing for centuries. Why are we making a religion out of spirituality? And I'm an irreverent person. I laugh at inappropriate shit all the time, Nicole. Okay? All right. So I see people going into this mode where they're becoming kind of Victorian in the way they look, right? So the spiritual person will wear the long flowing white robes. I'm sorry, right? And whenever I go to retreats and stuff like that, I am the most irreverent person because I'm going to be me. You gotta be me. I'm going to be me, right? And everybody's like usually shocked. And then they find out that I'm here to teach them. And then they're horrified and mortified that the guy that showed up in the blue jeans, right? And is going to be the actual instructor. So I teach yoga teachers and I teach, I do continuing education. I provide continuing education.
Have you taught yoga in your jeans?
Yeah.
I love that. Now, see, I even like you even more now.
Right. Yeah, I do. And so whenever I have to teach or whenever I am being called to teach and I show up to, let's say, a yoga retreat where they're teaching yoga teachers and so on. I remember in England some years ago, I showed up to the yoga class and I showed up early. And there were a whole bunch of women that were in there and they're in this little clique on the side and they're all, you know, doing the pranayama and getting ready for this wonderful imparting of wisdom. And then this guy comes into the studio and they're thinking, oh, no, the weightlifting studio is down the... Nicole, it was hilarious, okay? And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm in the wrong place then? Yeah, you're in the wrong place. I'm like, okay, all right. Then I leave the studio. Then I come back in the studio. Hi, I think I'm in the right place. I'm here to teach y'all. The horror. The absolute horror. Ironically, I'm teaching them the Upanishads, which is basically a bunch of texts, right, with morals. It's like a storybook for yoga people, okay? Morals about right behavior and right action and whatever. A lot of people in the spiritual community, they live in a kind of judgment space mm-hmm. where things are supposed to look a certain way. Mm. But the Christians have been doing that for years. You want to do that?
I know.
You really want to do that?
I know. Even when I was in, and I know this is going to sound funny, but when I was in Vegas almost a month ago, actually, no, it was a month ago, and it was a festival, right? And it was actually my first time going to a festival. And I really did go there, not so much for the festival part of it, but for some of the business networking that was part of the ticket if you upgraded. And I knew going, you know, even like a week or two going there, I was like, wow, you know, I see what people wear to these festivals. I'm not interested in dressing like that. Like, I just have no desire to do that. I don't want to. And not that there's anything wrong with it. Like, not that I think the people that are doing it are doing anything wrong. It's just for me, it's just like, it's just not me. It's not how I just don't want to. And, you know, the old me would have been like, okay, well, I got to play the part and this is the event and this is the theme. And I got to play along with the theme. And these days I just don't give a shit about anyone's theme. I'm going to come in there like me and I'm going to be comfortable. Like I walked in there completely dressed like no one else there. Like the first day I walked in there and I looked like I don't want to say I look like a sore thumb because I look pretty good, but I like definitely stood out from the theme of what was going on there, but I was just being me.
Okay. So pretty girl, let me explain to you what you're doing wrong. Okay.
Tell me.
Let me explain to you what you're doing wrong from their perspective. The majority of people, the first premise of spirituality, that is I call them spiritual fallacies. Okay. The first fallacy that you have is an error in thinking for a lot of people that come onto the spiritual path is that there is something wrong with you. That is shit. Okay? That is shit. There's nothing wrong with you. What you are doing is trying to filter out the parts of yourself that you want to present into the world or not present to the world. And you may be Henry Kissinger. I don't know. Who cares, right? Right. You may be Henry Kissinger. You are trying to filter out. We're all in a spiritual process, okay? It's not that serious. So there's nothing wrong with you. So if you think I'm broken, okay, what does that mean? I think what you mean is I need to adjust a few things, but you're not broken. If you were broken, we wouldn't be having a conversation because really and truly, yeah. So this is the thing that a lot of people, the premise that a lot of people start with. And because there's something wrong with me, what I'm going to do is imitate the people that I think that there's nothing wrong with.
Yeah.
And hopefully by osmosis of some kind, the rightness will somehow rub off on me. I am sorry, Nicole. I really wanted to go to this with a serious attitude, but I can't.
Let's be honest. I most certainly used to do that when I was younger.
Yeah. So let me tell you what you're doing wrong right now, pretty girl. You showed up at this place. People are seeing you, right? Your femininity is on display. You are not defeminized, okay? You're out there and you're like, you got sparkles bursting off of your aura and stuff like that. And people are saying, oh, this woman is having way too much fun with herself. Okay, that offends us in some way. So you will affect the people that start with that fallacy, right? The rest of the people that just sees you as, oh, here comes sparkles coming down the hallway. They're going to be like, oh, I like her, right? She looks like she could tell a good joke. I'm going to hang out with this chick as opposed to, you know, eating lettuce across there with the guys in the white robes and stuff, right? The other fallacy that I see people have in the spiritual community is that in order to be spiritual, I must suppress parts of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Listen, if I step on your toe, I expect you to say, oh, fuck, that hurts. Okay? If I step on your toe or if I say something to you and stuff like that, I expect you to lose your mind. You can cry. You can scream.
Mm-hmm.
You can get angry. You could swing on me and stuff like that. And you can still be a good person at the end of it. Okay? And I see a lot of people going into a spiritual, it's like they dive off I have shed my ego, and then they jump off the cliff and they land on another cliff, which says spiritual ego, okay? So from what I can gather, a lot of spiritual people would like to suppress their emotions. There's no point in crying. Crying is just an emotion. I have actually seen podcasts, broadcast to people, where people have said, in this new age, there's no need for emotions anymore. I'm like,
what?
Well, that makes me pissed. Right?
Who wants to live in that reality?
This is a reality. And actually, it was women that was putting this forward.
Oh gosh.
There is no need for emotion. Okay. So I am guessing. You mean that's. And you know, the irony is that's what men have been telling you guys for years.
I know,
right?
It's so funny.
And you getting on a podcast and saying, oh, there's no need for emotions anymore because we've ascended into a new realm. And
it just makes me more nauseous than when I had food poisoning 2 days ago. Like just listening to that.
No, I'm going to send you the link. You could go take a look. I'm going to send you the link to so you could go check this out. So these are spiritual leaders and teachers.
I'm crying. I can't believe it. Oh my goodness.
It's real.
Sorry, that's the emotion that's coming through.
No, you're making me feel uncomfortable.
I guess I'm not ascending.
Oh my God, you're making me feel uncomfortable with all this emotion and stuff. This is bullshit. Guys, get over yourself. It's not that serious. Cry, scream when you need to, shout to the heavens. Scream, go outside of your house and scream down the place.
Fart really loudly, burp really loudly, do whatever you need to do.
Right. Don't be that guy or that woman that suppresses things just because you want to be spiritual.
Mm-mm.
That's a lot of nonsense. So sparkles here, Nicole. I'm referring to Nicole, guys.
You know what? I do like that nickname.
shows up at the convention being Sparkles. You got the big smile, you got the little sparkles coming off of your aura. You're walking down the place and everybody is like, do you not see that we're trying to be suppressed here? You're reminding us of what we thought was wrong with ourselves. Okay. And this is the stuff that people put themselves through unnecessarily. I think a lot of people would be better off and a lot happier taking the serious stick out of their ass. I really do.
Mm-hmm. You know, and not to say that there isn't a place and time for sacredness and silence and, you know, going in and all the seriousness that is there, but to make that your mantra for life, you know, in how you're going to live is just absolute ridiculousness. It couldn't be further from the truth, which is ironic, you know, for people that are really looking for the truth.
I have been meditating since I was 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I have come out of meditation many times in fits of laughter.
Yes.
Laughing at different things that were shown to me in meditation. Okay. And sometimes I have inappropriately come out in fits of laughter while in yoga centers where people were trying to get to the deeper understanding of whatever else. Even when you can't get deeper in your meditation, even when you can't get deeper and so on, it might be because you have a stereo stick up your ass preventing the depth. And if you take it out and you stop trying hard to be spiritual, I'm trying so hard. And you could see it on their face. I'm really friggin' trying. My advice to people who are in this realm is don't worry about trying. Spirituality will come find you. All you have to do is say, oh, you know what? I would like to be a little bit more in touch with myself and spiritual. You just need to put that intention out there. And trust me when I tell you, it's going to come looking for you.
It's going to find you. It's going to find you. And not in the way that you think it's going to.
Yes.
Even in my ayahuasca journey on the weekend, I was giggling at Mother Ayahuasca and how she was, you know, working me and helping me understand, you know, like all the way she was talking to me was so funny to me. I was just giggling and I just thought this is so hilarious. Even the shaman who I have deep respect for, deep, deep, deep respect. One of the best shamans I've ever, ever done ceremony with. And, you know, even he was bringing in, he did a healing on me. I asked for a healing and in it, there's, I guess, the Icaros, like the singing where they, in Spanish, which is, I don't speak Spanish at all, because, I'm from Canada, I'm French, but I can kind of understand, right? There's a similarity. But there was this moment where, you know, going through the seriousness of like resonating with something, you know, and bringing that our resonance into the resonance of this thing. And then he talked about Ben and Jerry's and he's like, okay, let's all resonate with Ben and Jerry's ice cream, basically. And I just thought that was so hilarious. And everyone just started giggling because we were all starving. It was towards the end of everyone's journey. Right. And we were just like, yeah, Ben and Jerry's sounds great right now. And you're not supposed to have dairy on your ayahuasca journey, but it was, you know, and so we all started singing to resonating with Ben and Jerry's. And like, that's the shit I love. Like, that's the kind of people that I want to be around and like growing with, because like, if you can't laugh at life, like you have no business being here. This entire journey is hilarious.
Yeah. And if you can't laugh, life becomes 100% harder.
Oh my God. So much harder.
If you can't laugh at life, it becomes 100% harder. And especially if you can't laugh with people, if you can't, once you understand the concept of laughter, you understand the concept of little hearts floating up to the ceiling. There are a lot of people that can't connect with people in freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean in freedom is like, if you go to, just step outside your house, how many people do you think you can walk up to and say, hi, I need a hug today. Hug me up and it will go well.
You know,
you see, this is the go ahead, Nicole.
No, finish what you're saying.
All right, and it will go well. I'm guessing it might not go so well, right? Because we have loaded, there is no freedom anymore. Absolutely not. So we can't give care and concern and open our hearts as we would like to, because everything is serious. Mm-hmm. If Sparkles goes out to hug up somebody out there, they're going to look at your parents and think of you, ooh, that's a really good idea. But they're thinking in a base way. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If they're a man.
I just want to say, everyone who's in the live chat right now, you can call me Sparkles.
Right. And if, right, now look at my appearance. If I go out there and I run into one of y'all and I said, I need a hug, hug me up, love me up.
Mm-hmm.
That might not go so well. Mm-hmm. Do you see? Do you see what the things that are taken from you? Which is why we try to encourage people as much as possible in the coaching community, in the psychotherapy community, connect with your inner child when you were able to do that and it go well. Okay? Because you can't do it anymore. Look at the things that you lost for the sake of adulthood and popularity and all of those things. Look at the things that you lost. You see, if you lose those little hearts going up to this, growing, just flying up to the ceiling, the ability to access them, the ability to access them with another person, then you've lost a lot. You've lost a good chunk of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But they tried, and the thing is, women try to get it back by having children, because that mm-hmm. first connection, when you see the little baby with a little gurgly, whatever else,
yeah,
it gives you that reminder that yes. there are little hearts floating up to the mm-hmm. ceiling.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, on this thread, let's end on this note, because this idea of the spiritual stick being really too far up everyone's butt, not everyone, but a lot of people's butts, okay? Thankfully, I know a lot of people in my audience have pulled the stick out and are probably waving it around, hitting people who do have the stick up their butt. wake up. You know, let's think about this for a second, because ayahuasca, any kind of plant medicine, so to speak, you know, like, let's just say for the ones that I'm familiar with, ayahuasca, mushrooms, anytime I've been on them, yes, there are moments where you will feel these deep emotions and all that, but there, you also can go in. I've cried and cried and cried. And then all of a sudden I am bursting out laughing, you know, like just hilarious, like just giggling like a little girl at how ridiculous everything is and how funny everything is. And this is something that is very common when you're on, say, a psychedelic, so to speak. You're going into these altered states where you are accessing very, you know, there could be some really cool information that you're not used to accessing. And so to think that being serious is the pathway there just doesn't align with what I've experienced in my journey with, well, just my own full-on journey, you know, which is probably why I chose a father who's very inappropriately funny, like offends almost everyone. But also because,
sounds like fun.
Yeah, you know what, as a teacher, because I'll just talk him about him as a teacher that I chose for this lifetime, he helped me to not be responsible for other people's feelings. You know, like, that's on you. If you want to be offended, go ahead and give your power to me. I'll take it. If you want to give it to me, sure. I'll own your feelings for you. If you need me to apologize, ain't going to happen. You're going to have to figure out how to get your own power back. You know? And that's, I think, a very important lesson that I think my father's taught me in a very roundabout way. I wouldn't think that he actually knows that's what he's doing consciously, but you know, that's something that I've learned. And That's why I told you at the beginning, I said, I don't believe in being offended. It's one of the things that I absolutely don't believe. Like you.
Yeah. Offense is usually, is rarely given. It's usually taken.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so why don't we finish off on this note of the idea of psychedelics, plant medicine, whatever you want to call it. And that idea that many people, when they get these deep insights and their minds are opened in new ways and they get perspectives from different degrees of the 360 that they're used to looking at, and they see things in new ways and their minds are shifted, their brains starting, their whole neural pathways are being rewired. And a lot of that's happening through laughter and giggling. What would you like to offer to that?
People who do plant medicines, absolutely. I mean, I would never discourage anybody from doing plant medicine. You have to be open to the experiences of plant medicines. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whatever comes up is what is important for you. Mm-hmm. A lot of people realize, or they go on journeys and they step out because Mother Ayahuasca will open you up. That's what she will do. Mm-hmm. A lot of people go and they experience these experiences, but it's the maintenance after the fact, okay? And so when you're talking about the experiences of laughter and joy, whether it be ironic or not ironic, as an example, if you ended up giggling in the ayahuasca ceremony, you needed that laugh.
Yeah.
Let that be a lesson to you. It's not just what you see during the journey. It's how you react that tells the story. And so let that be a lesson to you, that when you leave that ceremony, you get more Ben and Jerry's. That's the first thing.
Yes.
You get more Ben and Jerry's. That's the first thing. And the second thing, that you laugh more, love more. Okay. Mm-hmm. I would highly suggest that. And that's how you maintain what you have done in that ceremony, because it has Mother Ayahuasca has shown you one thing. You really, if you have to go back and stuff, that's something different to another ceremony, but the ceremony should show you the path that you absolutely are either missing, or the path that you need to walk down, or the path that has stopped you from being who you truly are. Okay. And so I think a lot of people who go on, I would suggest that for anybody who can, do this at least once in your life, because if you have blockages that you're not seeing, Mother Ayahuasca is the woman for you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you don't get to choose what she's going to show you.
No, you don't. That's the beauty of it. Because mm-hmm. if you go to a counselor, you might choose what he mm-hmm. shows you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yeah, that counselor's coming from inside out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny, even just talking about it's activating it still in me, you know, like just some like actually making me a little nauseous.
I know the solution for that. Ben and Jerry's.
Ben and Jerry's, yeah.
Definitely need to go again. Do that.
Well, this has been a very relieving conversation. Very fun. And I definitely love some of the perspectives that you brought here to the table for both me and my audience. So thank you so much for sharing your time.
You are most welcome, my dear. Anytime, any place.
Mm-hmm. Let my audience know where they can find you and what you've got going on.
Okay, I have so much going on. Oh my God. Okay, so you can find me at info@unifiedhealthsystems.com or info@universalcitizentv.com. And well, right now we're rolling out software to the esoteric community and the wellness community to enable you guys to survive in this time and space. So for those of you who want to move forward with your business in the next year, and you want to be successful, and you're thinking about doing something, or you're thinking about it, or you're somehow trying to get there, but you're not getting there as quickly as you should, find me, find the UCM community,
And we will not only give you the cheerleading, which would be the coaching part, we'll give you the tools to actually do it.
Mm-hmm. And I can attest to that. Software. I can attest to that, everyone, because I'm in that community and there are some very valuable tools in there.
Yep. And that's what we're doing. We needed to do that because we need more people without a serious stick up their ass out there doing stuff. That would be you guys sitting down at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. Come out wherever you are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well,
this is fun.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. And of course, you guys can, if you're interested, you'll be able to catch David live on, you are on Andrew's Galactic Historian YouTube channel. You guys all do a lot of group conversations on there, which are always so fun to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, why I love it too is because there's a lot of poking fun at the lightworker community.
Yeah, we do. Look, we're not poking fun generally at the lightworker community, just the serious stick people. I'm like,
it's
not that serious. It really
is not
isn't
that serious. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So I'll leave all of the links for you guys in the show notes below. And of course, don't forget, if you'd like to grab a ticket to the Forbidden Journey retreat in April here in Breckenridge, Colorado, I'd love to have you there. The testimonials from the people who are at the last one, the healing has surpassed like even my expectations. And I'm going to be sharing with you guys more of some of the testimonials that have come out of that, because they're just, I would have never known that even that was possible. But this is why we're called to do what we do and to support the people that are coming in and ready to do the healing work. And so that these miraculous things can happen. And if you're interested in creating a space, being part of that space, I'd love to have you there in April. So guys, be well. I love you all. And I will see you next time on the Enlightenment Podcast. Thanks again for joining me for another show on the Enlighten Up Podcast. I love you guys so much for all of your continued support. So remember to raise your vibe, find your tribe, and be open to the infinite possibilities held in the mysteries that surround us all. Thanks again for sharing the show with your family and friends. And if you're new to the show and you need to find out more information about me, please head on over to my website, NicoleFrolick.com, where you can join my newsletter. And please follow me on Instagram, Telegram, and YouTube. Keep your light bright, and I'll see you next week.